Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and we the people, one nation under God. Today is Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022. So just think about today's date. It's 2-2-2-2-2. Today is George Washington's birthday, so we're going to have a little bit of a George Washington special and a special message to President Donald Trump. I did not really intend to do this on Washington's birthday. It just kind of happened that way, but it seems really appropriate because I tell you, in the past, I went to here in Orlando. I'm not in Orlando anymore, but in Orlando, I went to a Brian Kilmeade book signing one time. And I said something to him saying that I thought Trump may be the next George Washington. And in many ways, I still think that, what he was doing and stuff like that. So today's show is going to be a very interesting discussion about George Washington, what he was telling us, his birthday, of course, the real holiday, the official holiday, and then Donald Trump. And this is a special message that I have put together for President Donald Trump. And Karen Schoen's going to be joining us here momentarily. She can critique what I'm saying in reference to my appreciation and my concerns with some of the things that happened with the Trump administration. And others, if you have a special message that you want to question what you would say to Donald Trump yourself, feel free to send me a text on that, and I'll read it, post something in the chat room. I'll read as much as I can on that kind of stuff. And if you call in, just remember we're talking about what would you say to Donald Trump, or you could say, what do you think George Washington would do? We're at very interesting times right now. So I'm going to start off by a couple of George Washington's quotes. He's got many of them, and I'm not going to read them all night, but I'm going to start with some of them. And if you have a favorite one you want to share, feel free to do so. Be Americans. Let there be no sectionalism, no north, south, east, or west. You are all dependent on one another and should be one in union. And one word, be a nation. Be Americans and be true to yourselves. Okay, and then it's impossible to govern the world without God. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor. Some people think Washington was an atheist. No, he wasn't. This is one of his funnier quotes. A pack of jackasses led by a lion is superior to a pack of lions led by a jackass. Now, if you look at where we're at today, which one do you think applies? I know what I think. Okay, and then government is not the reason. It is not eloquent. It is a force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Experience has taught us that it is much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have gotten possession. And when the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent, we may be led like sheep to slaughter. That's a very powerful statement and so very true of what is happening today. Firearms stand next to importance in the Constitution itself. Firearms. Think about the difference of the situation we have in the United States of America because the people are still armed compared to what's happening in other parts of the world. Okay, and then let's see here. If the laws are to be so trampled upon with impunity and a minority is to dictate to the majority, there is an end put at one stroke to the Republican government, and nothing but anarchy and confusion is expected thereafter. Occupants of public offices love power and are prone to abuse it. Any of this make sense to you? Okay, and then do not let anyone claim tribute of American patriotism if they even attempt to remove religion from politics. And think about that. You try to take God out of politics, God out of our country, whatever, and what happens. So I'll stop there, but there's plenty more. We may get to a few more before the show is over. And let's see here. Then let's get to the a couple of general updates before I get into my special message to President Trump. Upcoming shows and the best day for the shows. I'm still kind of playing with whether I should have the shows on Tuesday or Thursday. Maybe I'll try to start having two a week. We'll see. But anyway, if you have a preference, let me know. And then the other is upcoming shows, going to be working on getting some candidates. I've been talking to a few, so we're going to hopefully have some candidates on here in the next few weeks. A message to the GOP, just like a message here to Donald Trump, we need to send a very loud message to the Republicans that are supposed to be the ones that are the constitutionalists, the ones who believe in the Republic. Republic. So we need to send a message to them. Something I watched over the weekend with Dr. Christine Northrup, some of you may know her, talking about the vaccine and pregnancy and things like this. And the show is going to be about COVID abortions. COVID is the vaccine is the virus. COVID vaccines creating miscarriages and what it's doing to the unborn and how it's truly the inobvious depopulation. Instead of just going out and killing a bunch of people off the face of the earth, you prevent the birth of people. So by preventing the birth, you're depopulating it. It was very interesting, the stuff she said. I will try to put a link out there so people can go to it or do a link on it with Man in America, I believe, is the podcast it was on. But it's really good and makes you think about what's really happening here. And she went as far as to say that World War II didn't end the way we thought, and there's some other information. And really, we're in World War III now. It's a bioweapon war, and we're killing each other with chemicals. Very interesting. And what we're seeing happen with the COVID vaccine stuff, it makes you think. Okay, and then some people believe Canada has fallen now. I mean, they were never a free society. They've always been socialist / communist. So we need to kind of keep that in mind. But at the same time, when the Canadian government is taking over in an emergency act, which is false, it's not the situation that they're dealing with, not by the truckers at least, and then freezing people's accounts and everything else. I don't know. Has Canada fallen? Yeah, something to think about. And, of course, where are we? But we are armed, so it's a little bit different here. The Freedom Convoy, the Truckers Freedom Convoy across the United States, the USA one, is due to be starting tomorrow. They're going to be doing all across the country. It's a very, and they're supposed to end up right outside of D.C. on March 4th, as I understand it. I've heard something about they're putting the fences all around Washington again and all this other nonsense. But the truckers aren't violent. They weren't violent in Canada. They're not going to be violent here. But it's coming, so it'll be interesting to see how that all plays. I don't think they ever actually get into the state of Florida anywhere, but they definitely are going all across. There is a schedule. They have their routes where they're going to be stopping, but, of course, there's a big note of subject to change, which would only make sense. So that's another thing coming up. And then on another show next week, whatever, we try to take a deeper dive into the Durham report and investigation and all that stuff. We've got to deal with what happened in 2016 and what happened in 2020 and how it all impacts Donald Trump, President Trump. So with that being said, I am going to read the message I have to Trump here and some of the questions. I'm going to put a few questions out there, some of my concerns, what I want him to answer to me. And then I'm going to open it, switch over to Karen and say, Karen, what do you think of what I said? Where am I right, wrong, indifferent, whatever, and have her opinion. And then as people are listening, you can call in and share your thoughts, keeping in mind that we're focusing on Trump, and this is also Washington's birthday. And actually, there is one more thing on Washington I'll do before we dive into President Trump. Won't take but a minute. This is off of Washington's farewell address. And again, think of how relevant it is to today, okay? And we're doing this because this is Washington's birthday. This is Section 17, if you look at his farewell address. 17 and 18 are the important ones for this discussion. All obstruction to the execution of the laws, all combinations and associations under whatever plausible character with the real design to direct, control, counteract, or awe the regular deliberations and actions of the constituted authorities are destructive of this fundamental principle and of fatal tendency. They serve to organize faction, to give an artificial and extraordinary force, to put in place of the delegated will of the nation, the will of a party. Often a small but artful and enterprising minority of a community, and according to the alternate triumphs of different parties, to make public administration the mirror of the ill-concerted and congruous projects of faction rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by common councils and modified by mutual interest. And then 18, however combinations or associations of the above description may now and then answer popular ends, they are likely in the course of time and things to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engine which have lifted them to unjust dominion. The word dominion's coming up a lot these days, too. So, to me, what I just read is so relevant to what is happening today. What the parties are doing, but it's not strictly parties, it's associations and factions. The division, how they work against you and take the power from the people to a few. It's, to me, it's just, he truly was the father of our country and was just very wise. Okay, now I'm going to read my special message to President Trump. And if you happen to have my text, not my cell phone, you can text me a question or comment you would like me to read. And if you can, you can post some things out in the chat room. I did just open it. If you want to post some stuff, and then I'll see if I have time to read stuff, whatever. So anyway, this is to President Trump. President Trump, I very much appreciated many of the things you did as a president of the United States. I support most of the policies you implemented. Thank you for putting America first. Thank you for putting America first, and thank you for sharing our borders. Thank you for giving us energy independence. Thank you very much. Being said, I must also let you know I have some serious questions for you. I have to question some of your decisions. They do not make sense. Were you that naive about those you chose to work with you? If your actions were the art of the deal, what deal did you make? While you did many things to help America and Americans, some of your decisions put us on the road to destruction. It appears to me that you were duped on several occasions. I need you to explain your actions regarding the following events and or actions before the 2024 election. I also need to know what your message is to the GOP Congress, if they take back the U.S. House and Senate. Your message to the GOP 2022 will have a major impact on what happens in 2024, assuming the USA has not been totally handed over to the globalists via the Great Reset. Explain the following. Why did you appoint Elaine Chao, your Secretary of Transportation, wife of U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell? For those of you who don't know, Elaine Chao is an immigrant, Chinese immigrant, whose father or family has major operations in transportation, and they have a major footprint in this whole country on transportation. So you made the daughter of a communist who has a major transportation system, foremost is the name, if you want to go look at it, you made her the Secretary of Transportation with Mitch McConnell, because Mitch McConnell is married to her. Something seriously wrong with that decision. Why did you hand over our country to Anthony Fauci? He gave Anthony Fauci so much leeway. It's absolutely disgusting. There's the thing with the Scott Atlas book that's out there, the, what's it called, The Plague Upon Our House. where Scott Atlas was brought in with the task force. And that task force seemed to be nothing but a fiasco. Apparently, Fauci wasn't there half the time. Trump never attended one. Pence seemed to be sitting there. It seemed like it was a social hour versus any real task force, because when Scott Atlas would try to get into the details, he seemed to be pretty much shut down. So his task force and his fighting over the country to Anthony Fauci is just, to me, a very, very big mistake. I want to explain it. And yes, I understand President Trump is not a medical doctor. No one's saying that. I just don't understand why he just, here, Anthony Fauci, tell us what you want us to do, whatever. Doesn't make sense to me. What is the real reason you promoted Operation Warp Speed? When many doctors and scientists told you and the world about other known therapies. And understanding, for those, I know most of the people listening to this, but in case you're sharing this with others, most emergency use authorization, you cannot have an emergency use authorization vaccine if you have known therapies. The big question is, Trump, you knew about hydroxychloroquine, maybe ivermectin at the beginning, but you knew you were promoting it. You took it yourself. And I think maybe you took the ivermectin, but I'm not sure. But the whole point is you knew there were known therapies, and yet you stepped aside to let this warp speed, Operation Warp Speed thing go through to get a vaccine out there. I hope by now you understand your decision has killed people. It really has. The estimates are out there of 85% of the people who died supposedly of COVID or whatever you want to call this pandemic thing, they would not have died if they would have had proper treatment, if they would have been given. And what they would have been given, the therapies they would have been given had there been no pandemic. If these same ill people with a flu, pneumonia, whatever kind of respiratory virus was, if they would have gone to their doctors prior to this COVID insanity, they would have been given one of these other therapies and they would have lived. You must understand that, President Trump, you aided them. They duped you. You stepped into it. And you help them kill people. Do you understand that? I don't think that's what you wanted to do, but you need to face it and stop promoting this vaccine. Which goes to this other show I was mentioning a little bit earlier, how the vaccine is destroying new life. Not only is it killing people, what we've done to fail to provide, fail to care for people, but the unborn, the miscarriages, the other things that are happening to the next generation that will never be born because of this vaccine. President Trump, you need to think about it and you need to talk about it. You made a mistake. I don't blame you for the mistake. I blame you for promoting it today. I understand you didn't know the medicine. You did know about hydroxychloroquine. Did no one tell you that you couldn't do an emergency use vaccine if there was a known therapy? Did anyone tell you that? Did you ignore those? Did you shut up about the hydroxychloroquine because that would block your vaccine? And all you wanted to do was prove that you could get it out there in warp speed. That's all that mattered. You got it done. Is that what it was in your mind? I believe you truly thought it was going to be good. But when you realized it wasn't, what are you saying now? This is my problem with it. Okay. Why did you promote Big Pharma vaccine over known therapies, which is what I just talked about? How many people died because of being denied known therapies? Right now, depending on which experts you want to talk to, the doctors out there, I hear 85% frequently. Some have said as high as 95%, but 85 to 95% of the people who died should not have died. They died because of the medical Big Pharma and the scam going on, the Great Reset, the COVID, plandemic, whatever. Truly part of the Great Reset, and, of course, how to destroy the election. Okay, do you still agree with Operation Warp Speed? And at times I hear him act like it's still a success. You know, President Trump, you've got to come clean with what it really did. And I think you want to talk to me. Of course, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer or a doctor. But I've been out there studying this stuff along. I was listening to what Scott Atlas was saying. Scott Atlas, you brought into your task force, but it looks like you didn't listen to him either. I don't get it. And, you know, at what point are you going to admit, you'll probably never admit that you were wrong. I don't know that you have it in you to admit that you were wrong. But will you at least change direction and say no? And I don't mean say no to mandates, no to the vaccine. Admit things didn't go the way planned, and, of course, if you happen to get back into office and Fauci is still there, you better fire him. And this GOP Congress in 2022 better investigate and charge him. Crimes against humanity and these various doctors, the FDA, whoever, who are all part of it. That's if you want to save this country. Because without any kind of moral compass, without any culture, any values, it doesn't matter. We can go the way of Canada with all the insanity going on up there. And then the very last question, which I could have tied in with the first question I put out there, why did you endorse Mitch McConnell? You know, Rand Paul did this, and it's like, okay, Rand Paul, you're probably doing this because he somehow guaranteed you some special place on some committee, whatever it was. But why did you endorse Mitch McConnell? Did that help with the art of the deal? What was the art of the deal with Mitch McConnell? Did nobody warn you about him? Had you not seen enough? I mean, it's all very bizarre. Now you're out there complaining about him. But those of us, while you're complaining today, those of us who are saying, why is he endorsing Mitch McConnell? Why? Is he insane? Does he not know who this guy is yet? I don't get it. Was the art of the deal? I keep going back to this was the art of the deal. You must have had some other strategy. There must have been something else going on in the background. I'm trying to understand your decisions because some of your decisions cause great harm. You must accept that fact. Some of your decisions have caused great harm. Now, what you did with China was one of these, double-edged sword, whatever you want to call it. You know, you did so much to put China in its place, which was right. But who's laughing today? China is laughing at us. What price did China really pay for this virus that was funded by us too? You can never totally blame China for this virus because we have the likes of Anthony Fauci who helped them. But look how much money China has made since then. All these crazy masks that they actually put a note on the box will not protect you against viruses. How many millions, billions of dollars did China make on fake face diapers? I don't get it. And let's see. Again, to compliment what you did, getting those ventilators out there, getting those companies out there, that was all great, and that's what you would need to do in a true war, be able to mobilize the corporations to get them doing that stuff. That was great. I think it was a failure. While you yourself didn't promote or support the lockdowns per se, but you weren't very aggressive in blocking them either. I think if you would have been more aggressive in blocking them, the red states would have not done it so quickly. Luckily, here in Florida, Ron DeSantis didn't do too much of that stuff for very long. And then, the other was talking about the hydroxychloroquine. You turned a blind eye to the known therapies. And right now, today, do you understand deadly what the game is being played with this vaccine? The vaccine is, in fact, a bioweapon. Do you understand that? Do you realize that? What are you going to say if you want to run for re-election or to be elected in 2024? What are you going to say to that question? Now, I think I've put quite a bit out there. I'll put two other little things, and then we're going to Karen. And I'm really wanting Karen to comment on what I said here and tell me why I'm right, wrong, or indifferent. But there is the new Truth social media thing that Trump has got in. I guess they're in the testing phase now, where we are getting back to some sense of freedom of the press. You just have to get off the mainstream media. So ignore mainstream. Get away from those as far as you can from those. Go out there and seek the real media, the new media, whatever you want to call it. And then I've heard and I've read that CNN has a new owner, which is a Trump supporter. And one part I heard that CNN is going to get back to being a network news. You know, that's what it was supposed to be, cable network news, to getting back into news instead of all the propaganda, crapola politics that they've been doing. Actually just report the facts in the news with some ethics and integrity to it, not playing all these other games. So if we can do that, oh, that will be such a major, major win. It really will be. So President Donald J. Trump, I admire and appreciate so many things you've done. I did vote for you in 2020. Yes, the election was stolen from you. And, of course, all the garbage and harassment of what you dealt with in your first administration. These were all things that weren't fair. but you got some really tough questions here to ask on these other some of your decision making, Jeff Sessions, Bill Barr, and I just there's some questions and the stuff around COVID. I need to know some things. With that being said, you're going to have Karen Schoen, who is a frequent guest on the show here. She has her own talk show. She can tell us a little bit about that, which is focusing on education, which is a big part of the problem, as we all know. An ignorant nation, an ignorant people cannot be a free people. That's all there is to that. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you so much, Sally. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and to talk to the audience. I really enjoy listening to everybody's opinions because that's what makes America. I happen to agree with most of what you said. The only thing that I would interject is that you kind of have to understand the way Trump ran his businesses, because I believe he was running America like it was one of his corporations. And what he used to do was fill his business with, quote, experts in their field, and then he would rely on those experts to come and tell him what the problem was. But he was not a very hands-on the administration part. He was out busy making the deal. He expected his administrators, who would be his cabinet, to do what they said they were going to do and to support him. And I don't believe that he realized the amount of treachery or treason or hatred, because I don't think he understood the Great Reset. And as a proponent of the Great Reset, a Trump personality, a Trump person cannot exist, because you are totally opposite. The Great Reset believes that the government must own and control everything, and people are really serfs to the government. Trump believed that, okay, I need ABC done. I'm going to get somebody in who's an expert in ABC. If I need a plumber, I'll get a plumbing expert. I'll get a superintendent. I'll get a construction worker. I'll get an expert, and they will manage their team. And that's what he expected. And that, I believe, was his major problem. He was not looking at this as, my gosh, they really hate me and they will do anything they can to get rid of me. And that's because I don't believe he understood the enemy. And that's where we are today. As far as the COVID, again, I think he got caught up in the idea of being able to say, I did a vaccine for so long and I was able to manage it and get a vaccine in X number of months rather than 10 years, and he bypassed a lot of the safeguards that vaccines would be worth. However, he also expected a Fauci to give an honest appraisal as the head of, you know, the as the head of the pandemic. He did not expect, and I, because he didn't go to many of the, their meetings, which he didn't go to, I don't think he knew the depth of what was going on. Not making excuses for him, because today he should be saying, I agree with you. I made a mistake. I took ivermectin. He took ivermectin. The Queen is taking ivermectin. In the meantime, the CDC is saying, well, you still have to wear a mask. So that, I believe, is the problem. I don't think we as Americans really understand the depth of hatred that the globalists have for us. I really don't think that. And we just really have to take a look at what's going on in Canada, because that is on its way here soon. What they have done with banking is, I hope everyone gets your money out of any major bank and go online and put the bank's name in, and then next to it put corporate and put put ESG, and that would be environmental, social justice, and governance, and ask for the scores. And if that bank is rated and has a scorecard that is ESG compliant, get your money out of that bank. And look for a credit union or a state bank that is not chartered by the Fed and will not have to adhere to Fed policy like what's going on in Canada. If we think that that cannot happen here, think again. We are being set up. Listen to the words that they use. Insurrection, terrorists. They're doing that on purpose. Those are legal terms. And those as legal terms are felonies. And actually, treason and insurrection are felonies which are punishable by death. So this is what they have in store for us. They have not. They have been doing the same thing in America that's going on in Canada. Today we heard in Canada that the head of the truckers, one of the organizers, was put in jail, and they won't release her until her sentencing. So she's going to be in jail for months because they will drag out the sentencing. That's no different than what's going on with the 1/6 people who are in the D.C. jail right now. There's no difference. These people have read the same playbook. They have been coached by the same people, and they are all graduates of Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum. And I remember a line that George Carlin used to say. He said, "They have a club and we ain't in it." And that's exactly what this is. They have a club, and you're not part of it. And you watch, because inflation is now going to be blamed on the Russians and the Iranians and OPEC for not giving us enough oil. Folks, America, I had a gentleman on my show the other day, and he was from the Heartland Institute. They have studied oil and gas for years and years and years. We have over 2,000 years worth of oil and gas in America. 2,000 years. Why are we buying oil and gas from anybody? Why are we not building refineries? We haven't built a refinery in almost 30 years. So even when we pump the oil out of the ground, it has to be shipped to a different country to refine it. Our past presidents have put us in this position. Trump was the only one who helped us to see what was going on, because he certainly didn't get us out of the position. So I don't believe, and this is my own personal opinion, I don't believe there's anybody strong enough in the Republican Party right now that could do the damage that Trump could do as the 47th president, because not only is he motivated by success, he is also motivated by revenge. And I do believe that we will see accountability, but only if we have a Trump in office. If we don't have a Trump in office as president, these people will go unpunished and will continue to do exactly what they're doing. And the only way that we can stop what's going on is to put them away. And that's why we built Gitmo. So why aren't we using it? And remember, Obama refurbished it. Well, they thought they were going to put us in. But hopefully that's not going to happen. But Sally, you made great points, and I don't see anything not to agree with.
Okay, well, let me ask you a couple follow-up questions. Yeah, well, you brought up some other points, too, because Trump always said he was a nationalist. This goes back to what was he seeing happening in the world, because obviously he was a very international, still is a very international person with his travel and his businesses and everything else. So what, and he was a nationalist. So when you think about when it comes to him and the Great Reset and Agenda 21, did he not see any of that? And again, he surrounds him people by, you know, his ability to surround himself with idiots. Unfortunately, people just, yeah, I don't know. That was probably his biggest weakness on how he selected people around him. And he kept a lot of people from the Obama administration, I guess. Go ahead.
I believe that, like most others, they really did not know the depth of this. And I believe that because he was an international businessman, but the majority of his holdings were in America, he began to see what was going to happen. And if he didn't do something, well, he or somebody else, but if he didn't do something, then his entire legacy would go up in smoke, because they will nationalize everything. They'll nationalize his hotels. They'll nationalize his golf courses. They'll nationalize whatever holdings he has. And I don't think that he understood the depth that they would go to do this. And that is where he underestimated them, by not knowing the history of what communists really do and are really about. Because this is what communism is all about. This is a communist takeover of Canada and a communist takeover of America. That's the aim. That's the goal. And we can use all kinds of fancy names and everything else, but it does not matter. When you boil it all down, it comes out communism. And that's what they're driving at. They want everything that America has to offer. They want it. Whatever we have, they want. Because America is an extremely rich country, and we are rich in natural resources. As a matter of fact, if we drew a fence around America, we really wouldn't need anybody else, because we would be autonomous. We would have everything that we needed at our disposal. And this is what they are looking at. Do you think that they don't know that there's a 2,000-year oil reserve underneath the United States that's bigger than putting together all of the OPEC countries together? Do you think that they don't have that in their sights? Of course they do. So why are they demonizing the oil industry? How did they do that? Well, it's easy. You can demonize it because it used to be a big polluter. And yes, the air was disgusting. Today it's not. We're not, oil and gas are not polluting anything. However, if you provide oil and gas, you will have progress. And the globalists cannot have progress in one country while they are trying to squelch progress in the rest of the world. They can't have America as a role model. They can't have people pointing their fingers at America and saying, I want air conditioning too. How come I don't have a new car? They can't have them. So America was a big target, and if you know and understand communists, you know that everything they do is connected, everything has a plan, there is no such thing as coincidences, and everything they do is based on lies. So I am sure that his cabinet was lying to him, and as a matter of fact, they said they were. They told him they were taking the troops out of Syria. They never did. They told him that they were maneuvering the army and navy and our military, and they never did. They continued to purge our military of conservatives. How is all of this possible? And it's possible because of ignorance. And then I go back to school because we don't teach it in school, and people don't know their history, so they have no idea what's going on. How many people, I got a call before, and the woman that I was talking to said to me, Karen, you won't believe this. I went to an REC meeting, and she is, I think they're Lucy County, and she said, I'm talking to the members of the REC, and they didn't even know that DeSantis was running for a second term in 2022. They were all focused on him being president in 2024. So basically, people are ignorant. That's why your show is so great, because we help wake people up. And then the people we talk to, hopefully, will talk to other people. But we have a, this is a really serious mess. And best thing I can say to everybody is prepare, prepare, prepare. Better be safe than sorry.
That is so true. And we probably should, towards the end of the show, go a little bit over that too, because things, somehow you got to, I feel like at times, I know you and I have talked about this, that Americans aren't suffering quite enough yet. When are they going to suffer enough? You would kind of think the price tag at the pump and the inflation would be waking people up. But I want to go back again. This is in reference to the Great Reset and the stuff. Now, did, and these are all things, it's like going back to 2016, when he was first running for office, did he truly know, what was his level of appreciation about George Soros or Klaus Schwab or the World Economic Forum? What, I mean, how much did he know or not know? And I would even say today, which nobody's really talked about it, but Trump should, especially with, we know what the situation is with China. China, how much ownership does China now have globally, how they have taken over small countries all over the place, and how much does China control the food source right in this country, and, of course, the fentanyl that's coming over? What is Trump, I mean, how much did he appreciate the what was already going on with China? He obviously understood something about China. He was going after them for the crap that they were, you know, the unfair trade stuff going on. So he had some knowledge. But, I mean, what do you think he knew about the World Economic Forum, George Soros, Klaus Schwab, these other morons that were out there? Go ahead.
As a New Yorker living in New York, he had to lean towards the Democrats because that's the only way you could get business done in New York. So I believe that he knew Soros. I don't, again, don't think that he understood the depth of what they were doing. And I don't think that he realized that they were as far along as they were. I believe that he again counted on his intelligence people, his his cabinet to come and tell him. He was a novice when it came to politics, so he didn't quite understand the way politics work. And I believe that McConnell, he left him there and supported him because he had a deal with McConnell to make sure that all of the judges that he appointed would get approved. So McConnell, if he did one good thing during the Trump administration, of which maybe there was one, that was to make sure that the judges got appointed. The rest of it, it was all money. It's always all money. It's money, money, money. These people are getting paid off by China. I don't believe Trump is. I'm sure that he has made deals with China, and he's the kind of a person that likes to keep the door open. So you could say all kinds of derogatory things, and he'll walk away and say, oh, but he's a nice guy. He's a nice man. Ah, he's my friend. Look at what he said with
Fauci.
Putin and Fauci. That's the way he is, because he always has to, that's his nature, is to always leave the door open, because in the future I might need that person and we could do a deal. So why, why get angry? It doesn't solve anything. It doesn't help. And in the future, if I need that person, it won't help. So he was like leaving the door open, and they were coming in and filling his head with garbage. And
well,
I don't believe
the China
paid attention to the right people.
What
he had a lot of good people. He had a lot of good people surrounding him, but I don't think he paid attention to them enough.
Yeah, and we got a caller out there, and we're going to get to you in just a minute. I think it's probably Joe, but I'll double-check that. But, excuse me, yeah, well, here's the thing. This, again, the art of the deal routine. the outcome of the art of the deal with public policy is a little bit different than whether you're able to build a hotel where you want to or a that type of business thing. Because the art of the deal that you traded the Senate president place with McConnell doing that stuff, excuse me, with doing that, you traded having a Chinese person to be the Secretary of Transportation with everything going on there. I mean, because I can't help but think there was some deal there. Some deal, it's like,
well,
you know what?
Of,
yeah.
I was going to say, think of it this way. Secretary of Transportation, and he's trying to be nicey-nice with China, so who better than to be, you know, than to be a groupie with Elaine Chao, whose father is the vice minister or minister of transportation in China. And he figured that would make it easier, and this is my opinion, that he figured it would make it easier to do transportation deals, to do trade deals, because he's all about trade. And I think that he did that to, as a carrot to open up the door for trade to China. It was a bad mistake. And I think his new cabinet will be incredibly different, but it was what it was. I believe that he got bad advice from the wrong people and did not listen to the right people. And it's very sad that that happened. But then again, think about it this way. Here he is trying to run the country, and every other minute he's being hauled off to court for some stupid reason that the Democrats
right.
found.
Yep.
So how much of attention is he actually giving when I think you're doing the right thing because you're telling me you're doing the right thing. Well, I don't have to pay attention to that because I trust you because you're doing the right thing. And that, unfortunately,
yeah.
doesn't make that.
Well, and there's no two ways about it. All the distractions. Had he not had all the distractions with all the propaganda, false impeachment, all the other that other nonsense that was going on, the, without a doubt, for him to get anything done with all that, to get anything done with that border, I thank him for so much of what he did. I really do. It's not that I don't appreciate what he did, but there's some very, very big issues here, and I want to know what he's going to do different next time so that he's not totally entrapped, and I really want to know what is his knowledge of China in this country today. And that would include Foremost being that big transportation company and, of course, them owning Smithfield Meats and how much China has control of our food supply right now and, of course, drugs, all these other different things, and how China can destroy this whole country right now and not even blink an eye, how they could attack this country between the fentanyl and the food supply and even the transportation, whatever. I want to know, President Trump, how aware are you? What's going on in this arena here? Now, yeah, you can't maybe say everything because you're not going to spill the plan, whatever. But tell me enough that you're aware of the threat China is on this homeland right this minute. And what are you thinking of doing? What might be thinking? Tell me something. And, we do have a caller. So go ahead and answer that, and then I'll get the caller in here.
Well, the thing that gives me hope, I do watch Steve Bannon, and Trump is in contact with Steve Bannon, and he is in contact with Dr. Navarro, Peter Navarro. And if he listens to them and the right people, we have a home run. That's the question. Is he going to listen? I believe he will. And I believe that he will be, like I said in the beginning, he will be seeking revenge as well as his desire to make it right. A part of him is going to be looking for revenge because that's the nature of the type of person that he is. Remember what he says. I'm not a first hitter. I punch back. Somebody punches me, I'll clobber them. So that's the way he is, I think, and yeah. I hope and I pray that he's learned his lesson now that you can't trust the people that you've surrounded yourself with and not to surround them himself with these. I mean, if he would have gotten rid of Jeff Sessions the day that if I were president for the day And Jeff Sessions was my AG and came to me and said, I'm going to recuse myself. I would have extended my hand and said, thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate everything that you've done, but I need somebody who's going to be with me 100%. And recusing yourself is what started the ball rolling.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to add one last comment, then I'm going to get the caller, which, again, I think is Joe out there, caller on. The two things, the Kavanaugh, whatever is two mistakes that related back to George W. Bush, people need to understand, George W. Bush, he sounded great after 9/11, give him kudos, accolades for that, well, came to talk, for that kind of stuff, what he did there. But Kavanaugh was part of the Patriot Act, and then who knows about Amy Barrett, but Amy Coney Barrett, I'm not, who knows what to make of her, but some of his choices, people they sent him the wrong people. Then what did he do right after Jeff Sessions? He went with Barr, who seemed like he was doing good in the beginning, but he was also a George W. Bush one. I believe the loyalty of those two, the George Bush ideology, was much better than it was to Trump. And I guess my other question for Trump is, what do you think about the Patriot Act? What would you do to restore the rights of the people? But that's another question, President Trump, if you're out there listening. We want that one. And now let's get this one caller in there. Hello, caller. Is this Joe, or give me your first name?
It could be. Sally, how
you
are
have you? You have to see the switchboard to see why I'm guessing this is Joe. I'm doing fine, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, especially since I wrote your open message to Trump. And as soon as I read that, then I said to myself, hey, you know what, Sally, you and I got to team up to actually ask these kind of questions, so that, because I need a running mate. I need somebody to be with me when the CIA chases me. Because when you start asking these kind of questions, you know the CIA is coming after you. Okay? So I need you to be my partner so that we can fend off the CIA together. Because these are probing questions that Trump should answer. Plus, as you were talking about, or as Karen was talking about, with regards to the trade-off with McConnell, right? Now you have to ask yourself, if he actually made a trade with McConnell for the judges, then where's our check and balance? I've always said that, you know, we don't have checks and balances here. Because if you can get your judges appointed as a result of having, making deals with the Senate to ratify them, then where are the no checks and balances? So, you know, we have to think about that, if anything else. But I'm not a Trump supporter anymore. I wouldn't vote for him in 2024. One thing you didn't mention in your message was he's for red flag laws. So he's actually voting, for the slippery slope with regards to getting rid of guns, which would be the last step to whatever totalitarian government exists to really round up the people and put them in concentration camps and starve them. So I'm not a Trump supporter. What he did for the country while he was in office, very, very good. But that might have been a precursor, if he got part of a plan to get him elected again and have people have their trust in him become magnified, that, he might be the next, who's to say which president wouldn't be the next dictator. I think we've had dictators all along, or would be dictators. But it's, go ahead, Sarah.
Let me ask you this. Deep down, and this may, this element of paranoia because of everything that's going on, I definitely was not born a paranoid person, but little by little you do get to begin, you're paranoid about everything. But in my own opinion, I truly believe that Trump wants to do what's right. I believe he loves his country and he wants to do what's right for it to restore it. That's what I feel. Now, there's times when I'm like saying, who do you trust anymore? Is Trump playing some other game out there? We really don't know. I mean, this is the paranoia that comes in because we've been misled. We've been lied to so many times, and it doesn't matter what stinking party they're in. But I keep thinking deep down that Trump wants to do the right thing. He hasn't been he hasn't had the right team around him, whatever. I mean, he's definitely made some mistakes. This first and he was also harassed the whole time. You can't take that away. Between what was happening there too, and he did get a lot of stuff done. But so, I mean, that's kind of the question: does he truly believe in America? And I think he does. I think he wants what's best. By making what's best for America is also going to make what's best for him. It's going to definitely embolden him in many of the things that his dynasty of everything he's got kind of stuff. But let me ask this: is if it wasn't Trump, Who do you think, and I think further as a reality check, I think we all know if Trump runs, the Republican Party is going to nominate him. But say he says he's not running. Trump says, oh, I'm not going to run. And I believe he could do an awful lot on the sidelines as well. But say he's not going to run. Who do you think is out there on the Republican side who can get the people to have 80, 90,000, whatever it is that he gets to these rallies and gets he's the uniter of the people. Trump, Biden definitely hasn't been the uniter. Trump has been the uniter, not Biden. So who do you even see that would have a chance out there for 2024? After you give your answer, then I'll have Karen chime in on the things we were just talking about.
Well, I don't trust any of them. And your question is about who's got the kind of charisma that can actually have these 100,000 people rallies and, and seemingly unite the people. I don't know if anybody does have that kind of charisma. Nobody is as pungent, as well-known, as acerbic, has pierced the veil like Trump has. But I don't trust any, not even DeSantis, I don't trust any politician. And in terms of Trump being surrounded by bad people, yeah, when it comes to certain issues. But then you have to ask yourself, what if you are the most honest and intelligent person, the person who encompasses both great honesty, great intelligence, were in the White House? Would they not have the ability to discern which of their advisors would be good for the country or not? Even if you had no real background about the particular issue, right? For example, there might be top secret operations going on in the Middle East. They didn't know until he got there. What about health care? What about internal security? But everything else besides that, he as a billionaire, a person who comes from New York, who built up his empire from scratch, he would have to know. So I'm not giving the guy a pass, especially since he's still saying the vaccines are safe. Uh-uh.
No. Nope. His judgment, when he keeps, if he just shut up about it and didn't say another word, said, I don't know what to think, Matt, whatever, but when he keeps promoting it is what scares me half to death, that you would still have some strong alliance with this big pharma crapola and still doing that. Let's go back to Karen, but, at some point here, what would be your questions to Trump? But let Karen chime in on all of this we've been talking about.
Well, I happen to agree with you, but I don't see anybody else who's strong enough to be able to pull this rabbit out of a hat and change the direction of America. I personally believe that he is, I won't say the only one, but he's the one that can bring people together. And we can see that by he ignites people. That's part of his showmanship. He ignites people. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I believe, number one, he will run, and I don't see anybody there strong enough to be able to take over unless it's not a politician. Of which, if they're a business person, they're in the same boat. There's no difference. They're all motivated by money. There's no difference. That's the problem. We are our own worst enemy because individualism creates individuals, not groups. And individuals don't work and play well together. They have their own egos, and they're more concerned with their own egos than they are with anything else. I've been listening to Marjorie Taylor Greene. I think she's good, but she's not there yet. I've been listening to Matt Gaetz. He's good, but he's not there yet. These people need seasoning, and they don't have it yet. And that's why I don't see anybody else who could be in that position right now that would be respected. And it is, to me, it's an amazing thing to see, look at some of these demonstrations that are going on all over the world, and they're carrying American flags with Trump signs. So if that will help put a dent in the New World Order and the Global Economic Forum, as people are beginning to see, then I think that he would be the right choice. Because he understands the market. He understands a lot of things that most people don't understand because he has a business background. He's a human being, and human beings make mistakes and do stupid things, and sometimes it harms people and sometimes it doesn't. But I just don't see anybody else. I don't see anybody else rising to the top. It's a miserable, horrible, tough job, and the sacrifice that you have to give up, he's given up almost, I would say, about at least 30% of his fortune by what he has done, by running for office, by being the president. So he's dedicated, I believe that. He definitely wants America to succeed, and he's motivated. He has to have America succeed. If he is going to have any legacy left, America has to succeed. So that, to me, is an additional motivation. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I don't see where we have any other choice. I don't see any other choices.
Let me ask you a question. This is a Karen first, and then Joe. Now, okay, Trump is running again. I think it's almost like a foregone conclusion, but anyway, he's running again. The vice president, it better not be Pence, obviously. Would a father and son routine be there, or should Don Jr. be the one who runs, or would it be DeSantis? Who would be a strong player with him? It's too bad Pence turned out to be what he was, but apparently there was a game going on with Pence in the beginning, too. I don't know all the details. But he needs to make a better decision just on his vice president, too. So, Karen, there, and then like I say, then we'll go to Joe.
Well, I think that Mike Pompeo would be good.
Yeah, he would.
I think that season-wise, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene, these people, they need like another couple of years. They need people to get used to them. They need people to be able to corral around them. I can foresee Don Jr. running as president eventually. I don't see him being vice president now. I just don't see it. But that doesn't mean anything. He likes Lorraine Bobart. So there, if it were me to make that choice, I would pick somebody like a Mike Pompeo because they've been around the block. They know what's going on. And he has a past history of doing a good job. And you want to pick people that are going to do a good job. That's the same thing I would like to
keep an eye on the State Department.
Right, and I would like to see a Peter Navarro as his economic advisor. I think Rick Perry did a lousy job as the energy secretary. I don't think he was a great energy secretary. So,
yep.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't think DeSantis will give up being the governor to be president. I don't think he'll do that. I think he's going to stick it out as governor and then go. He would be a great candidate for 28.
Yeah, one quick thing on the DeSantis, and then I'll get Joe to chime in here. When it comes, people have talked about, you know, DeSantis running at the same 2024, whatever. I don't think he would go against Trump to begin with. But the truth is,
no,
people need to also understand the republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states. We really need strong governors to support whoever, if it is Trump, you need those governors out there to support and unite behind him. I don't think most people appreciate how big of a deal that really is. So as I've told some people who said something to me about DeSantis running, I said, nah, if Trump gets in there, I want DeSantis here in Florida because I know he's going to support what Trump is doing because he's going to support the Constitution, which no one else is doing. So with that being said, Joe, what are you thinking?
DeSantis is a vice president, perhaps. I wouldn't trust him, even though he's doing a great job in Florida as a president. I wouldn't trust anybody as a president. Pompeo, I especially would not trust. He was part of the deep state when he got selected. He's also done some crap as Secretary of State and I think as head of the CIA or the National Institute, NDI, whatever it is. So I wouldn't take him. Plus, we're also assuming that whoever gets in there somehow would be able to maneuver around the labyrinth called corruption. In the Senate and in the House, you have to take everybody out of there. You have to put in what I would call the untouchables. The same thing as a TV show. If I were Trump, I would definitely take a look at who are the graduates of the World Economic Forum, and then do not have them as advisors or as running mates or anywhere near the administration. If Ron Paul was younger and running, I would vote for him, but he would be about the only one. Rand Paul, he's learned his lesson, unfortunately. He got his ribs crushed. He got surrounded by BLM. He knows what it's like to, even though you're a senator, you can die. So, and I think the other senators and congressmen, they've been notified by the powers that be. You become honest, you become dead. So you need people who are willing to die for the country. Who are they? Don't know. But Trump again? No. Okay? Again, he was doing a great job as the president. But now that he's not the president, you cannot say he's surrounding himself with bad people. He knows how to read newspapers. He was on the Alex Jones show to promote himself the first time around. So he theoretically knows something about conspiracy theories. He probably knows Jesse Ventura. I think Jesse Ventura would be a good pick. He's fought the establishment. But you need people who are willing to go up against everybody. Ron Paul was willing to do it, but he was the only guy in Congress willing to do it. He was probably the loneliest guy ever in Congress. I doubt if he ever had lunch with anybody except Dennis Kucinich. So
he was there a long time.
20 years.
Get out.
You know, 20 years. So he would be the only one. I've learned my lesson not to trust anybody in Congress. You need people. When I was on your show before, and I asked Chase those questions. Those are the kind of questions that I want answered. I want to know. I don't want to know what you've been doing, because whatever you've been doing is great. You've saved lives as a doctor. You've freed innocent people as a lawyer. You've done this as an organizer. But do you have the balls to stand up against the lobbyists? If you can't stand up to me, you can't stand up to the lobbyists. You have to be able to root out corruption and say, this particular senator from Idaho, this representative from New Jersey, these particular governors from the various states, they are dirty. If you do that, you're going to die. But those are the kind of people we need.
Let me, for some reason, I'm starting to get an echo. I'm not sure where that's coming from. That's probably me, if you're getting an echo.
I don't know what the... if it gets real bad, let me know, Sally. I'll call back in and see what happens.
Okay, well, it seems like little by little it is getting to be a little bit more popular to be a true patriot and to actually believe in the Constitution. There's the guy from Texas, Chip Roy, I think is his name. I would love to see him be the vice president. I think he doesn't care what they say. He puts it out there, and he's on the right side of the issues from what I've seen. But more importantly, I think people are beginning to see the popularity of being on the right side. Whether you believe DeSantis across the board, how far can you trust any of them, I don't know. But his popularity, because he went against all the other nonsense with the COVID stuff, I think it's empowered some of the other people to stand up. Matt Gaetz being another one. I think it's becoming more popular. The echo's getting worse.
Oh, is it? Okay. Let me call back. Let me see. Can I call back?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll call back on.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see if that takes care of it. But anyway, the thing is, I truly believe people are beginning to, with what we're seeing with the truckers in Canada, which can you imagine what this trucking convoy is going to be in the United States? Right now, I haven't seen it passing through Florida anyplace specifically, but if I could be out there on that road waving that sign and, you know, rooting them on and everything else, I would do it in a heartbeat. But I think there's a tendency, people are actually believing it's okay to believe in God again. It's okay to do the right thing again. It's okay, and while what Karen was saying earlier, and I have a follow-up on this, the individual, what's made, same thing that makes you weak will also, what makes you strong will also make you weak. The individual, the determination to come up with something better, to build a better mousetrap, make the money, whatever else, to prosper, has led us to a lot of the problems we have today because we allowed our greed to get in the way. When you lose your core values, the culture, lose any type of faith, which the churches have destroyed us to, think about what the churches have done, then it's this is where we're at. This is the path. But I do believe there's a sense that, one, the churches have failed us. What does Trump say about the churches? What does he think? He seems to be a godly person. Doesn't always recite scripture quite right, as I recall, but I think he's a person who has a lot of faith. So what do we do? What is he going to do to help continue to promote that, which his rallies do? It's okay to believe in the Constitution. It's okay to believe in God. It's okay to do the right thing. It's okay to not always be greedy. And Mike Lindell is going to be the perfect example of that. I think the Mike Lindell case, maybe he should be the vice president. I don't know. But Mike Lindell was everything he suffered in his own life, the drugs and everything else, and he turned it around. It was his faith that gave him the strength. He went and has gone forward. And now that he has prospered, even with the banks attacking him, by the way, we need to ask a question about the banks and Trump stuff, all that, he continues to give and give and give. It's okay to give. You don't always have to be taking. You don't always have to try to be the king or the queen like Pelosi and Schumer out there and this other nonsense. So I think there is a change of the attitude of being good. I'm really hoping we're coming back to some core values that have definitely left, the core values that were taken out of public schools. But I think we see a rebirth, if you want to call it that. I don't know. But people actually liking the fact that Ron DeSantis pushed back and said, we have constitutional rights. Oh, my God, someone said we had constitutional rights. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. Anyway, with that being said, let's Karen, go ahead and chime in, and then we'll get Joe back in here. And hopefully Karen
will. Yes, I'm here. I had the phone on mute because I my dogs were having a little barking, and I didn't want to disturb anybody. But
the dogs are right. Elect the dogs.
The dogs are right. They agreed. You asked the question, they will stick with. Okay, they agree. I agree with you, and I just have to say I disagree with Joe only because there isn't anybody else right now. Like, we have to be real. Trump may not be my perfect choice either. I'd love him to be able to do a lot more, but I don't see anybody else standing up to the world leaders like he has done, and I don't see anybody else standing up to big business the way he has done, and it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. We need somebody who can dig out. He has done that before, so therefore, I don't trust any of them. They all lie. We know that. So I don't trust anybody. I don't even trust Trump because he lies too. We all lie. I mean, but he actually has the most transparent administration than we have ever had before. And he did everything out in the open, which was wonderful. It was great seeing. Right now we have no idea what's going on, except we know that Biden's lying about what's going on in Russia. And this whole thing that's happening now is a Biden creation. Trump would not have done that. You have to be able, and maybe it is a portion of his managerial skills, because, like I said, he likes to surround himself with people that he considers excellent, and then he lets them do their job. He's not a hands-on overseer that he's there every minute. He'll go, he'll show up, he'll inspect, he'll look, but he's not going to be sitting on your shoulder saying, do this, do this, do this. He expects that you're going to do the job that he has nominated you for. There are some good people, as you started talking. Jim Jordan is a good guy. Ron Johnson is a good guy. There are some good people, but they get caught up in everything also. It's too bad that we can't take money out of politics. We should not be allowing these PACs to bring in hundreds of millions of dollars to disperse to these criminals to get them elected. And this, again, is part of the Great Reset. So you have to understand that as well. You have to understand the Great Reset. There's so many components. Think of it. How many things do you have to juggle? And you got to juggle a lot. So I don't even know, I wouldn't even venture a guess as to say who might replace him. Have no idea who might be better. But I do agree with you with DeSantis. DeSantis has said on numerous occasions that he is interested in being governor of Florida. And when that is over, then he'll discuss other things. So I don't believe that DeSantis is going to be seeking anything in 2024 except as governor of Florida. And as you said, Sally, that's a big job, and that gets him more It gives him more opportunity to understand what running a big job is all about, and gives him more opportunity to be seasoned to be able to be a president. Otherwise, we will have another Biden of somebody just parroting what other people are saying instead of having their own brain and using it. So it's going to be a very interesting time, and I like to focus on 2022, because to me, if we don't get this right in 2022, 2024 won't make a bit of difference, because we'll never have the ability to have an election again. So this, to me, is right now more important than who may run in 2024. I want to see us win big time. I want to see the Democrat Party totally wiped out. I want to see the rhinos being voted out of office. And that is why most people don't realize that the primary is the most important election. It's more important than the general election, because you get a chance to know and meet this candidate. And that's really, really important. So We have a primary coming up in November 2022, and if we don't get rid of the rhinos and get the Democrats out of office, then it won't matter who's president in 2024.
Amen. No argument there. Joe?
Well, I agree with you, Sally, about the governors. We need governors in every state to withstand a dictatorship in D.C. and to be able to promote the Constitution. I don't think we have enough of those. Some people might say Naomi of South Dakota would be a good pick. Who knows? I don't trust any of the politicians. They, even if they were honest, doesn't matter. It's like Truman said. You may be honest when you get into office, but you're not honest once you're there for 5 seconds. So I don't trust any of them. And the real sad part about it is that the American people don't know how to think. If I were president, what I would like, I wouldn't mandate it because I wouldn't want to be a dictator, but I would certainly recommend that every student from grade 1 through grade 12 take logic and critical thinking as a requirement so that they can think. They can ask the kind of questions that are necessary for any kind of situation. They'll be able to discern fact from fiction. But people don't think. People are led along by the nose, and you take along yet another charismatic presidential candidate, and people will still follow. They'll make excuses. Oh, well, she's okay. I didn't like her policies on this, but I like her policies on these. No, we need totally non-corruptible people in office. But since the psychopaths and the weaklings go for the congressional brass ring and the senatorial brass ring and the presidential brass ring because they know that they can dupe the population, they go for it. But if the populace just learned how to think a bit, then these scoundrels wouldn't be elected into office because we would see right through them.
And that goes back to Karen's favorite topic. We don't, and this common core, everything to do with education, we never educate. Educating is teaching a person how to think. Critical thinking is part of the education. But if all you're doing is training, which is what we've done to, two or three generations now, trained, we've trained them to be good little sheeple and do as we say and this and this and this. And that's, and undoing the educational problem we've talked about on the show. And what would Donald Trump do with education? What does he think education has done to us? That might be another discussion. President Trump, what is your thought about education? Obviously, you don't agree with critical race thinking, which I think is interesting. It's like,
well, they,
we should be teaching critical thinking, not critical race thinking.
Yeah.
Theory. Go ahead, Karen.
If I may interject, the first thing that if I were president for the day, the first thing I would do is walk in and say to everyone in the Department of Education, you're fired, go home. We no longer have a Department of Education. That's the first problem. And all of the states should get as a block grant the remuneration that is normally given for whatever the feds give out to the states. And it should be given without strings attached because the states paid it without strings attached. So the education should be in the hands of each individual state, and that's how you create the competition and you create the sovereignty that the states have. Right now, as you said, Sally, we don't have an education. We have an indoctrination training program. And I did an analysis because somebody was interesting. I was saying, talking about homeschooling and how it's so much more important to homeschool than regular school. And they said, I said, it should not take you more than 4 hours a day. That should be it. Now, it doesn't matter whether you do 4 hours back-to-back, 4 hours separated, that doesn't matter. But it shouldn't be more than 4 hours. Well, Karen, the kids go to school for a 6.5, 7-hour day because the rest of the day is filled up with garbage. And I do mean garbage. This is where they get in all of their wonderful programs. And it doesn't matter what we say. It only matters what the kids read. And if we don't go to our local school board meetings and run for school board and get involved that way, you want to turn the country around, that's the way to do it. We have to take back the schools. And if I said we should have a major book burning, because I have not found one textbook that is not filled with social emotional dribble, and you can't run a country on emotion. It doesn't work that way. You will have a disaster, which is what we have now, as we are allowing, as Biden is bowing down to the environmentalists so they can destroy the country, because that's what they want. That's the other thing people don't understand. We have to go back and read their words. The environmentalists want the country to be destroyed in as much as a minimum of 50% of all land should be back in the wild. And the people should live in concentrated cities and stop spreading out and sprawling all over the country. How dare they? That's what the environmentalists think. We don't listen to their words. Klaus Schwab said, you will own nothing and be happy. How, what right does he have to tell me what I'm going to be, what I can have or can't have? Who the hell does he think he is? Or as I used to say, who died and left him boss? Nobody. We have to be able to say, no, we're not doing that. And frankly, judging by what's going on right now, I don't see anybody in anywhere who, well, that's not true, who would lead in a movement like this and gather the people the way Trump does. So I go back to the same thing. I think we need to let him finish his term, finish the wall. We know that's one thing. See, that's another thing, too. We know what he will do. He will finish the wall. He will go back to remain in Mexico. He will work to get rid of certain things. But the other thing is, we forget it as a, you mentioned before, what was it, or was it Joe that mentioned, when you were talking, Joe, how one, the three branches of government and how,
yeah,
you
I was
know,
talking
we,
about
we don't
the,
have that,
yeah,
have that anymore?
Right, we don't have
no, we don't.
Checks and balances.
We do not. We don't have checks and balances because if we
never
did,
really did.
The legislators are supposed to write the laws, and the president is supposed to follow them. And an executive order is supposed to be a directive of how to implement the law, period. That's it. And the...
But in terms of ratification of the judges, too, let's not forget. Let's say, let's make this simplified. Instead of saying that there's a Republican Party and Democratic Party, just imagine the Genovese and the Gambinos, okay, as being in office. Okay,
right, they are.
That's right. They are in office. So, if you're going to try to institute people who are going to be in the position of Supreme Court justices, and you're having any of the Gambinos or any of the Genovese vote on who's going to be the judges, what do you think the outcome is going to be? Because in order to become a Supreme Court judge, you've got to be ratified by Congress.
Well, and it depends upon who is in Congress. So if we do what we're supposed to do and take over in 2022 with the right people, then we can have the right judges. And by right judges, I don't mean Republican or Democrat. I mean judges that will follow the Constitution. And we have to go back and look at them and see their actions. What did they do? Did they follow the Constitution? Because that should be the only thing that we should care about. And that, of course, is not what they want.
Okay, another question for Trump. President Trump, this is all about you right now and the future of this country. Okay, President Trump, say you had the option, the opportunity to put another person on the Supreme Court. Would you consider not putting an attorney there? Because you don't have to be an attorney. How about putting a constitutionalist there? It would, Ron Paul would be a great one, but he is a little bit older and up in his years there. But
right.
You could actually find a constitutionalist to put there. You do not have to be a judge. I hate for us to limit ourselves to what they've done on the bench someplace else. They don't have to be judges. They don't have to be lawyers. So let's get a constitutionalist on the Supreme Court versus that. So Donald Trump, what do you think about that idea? And then the one other thing is the other big question, and I'll let you guys decide if you want to comment on it or not. 2022, Republicans take over the House, and we actually get a few real Republicans and get rid of some of the rhinos out there. And the House says, Trump, we want you to be the Speaker of the House. Trump, would you be the Speaker of the House, which would take action to impeach the very, very treasonous administration that's there today? So I'll give those two to you. Who wants to go first, Karen or Joe? Who wants to go first?
I'll answer.
Okay.
I feel like we're on a game show. I need to have my buzzer in.
That's right. I don't have those buzzers. Oh, I should have got that buzzer thing going. Okay, next one.
But what's his name? Trump could become Speaker of the House. And then it would be following the script of, what was the name of the, oh, House of Cards. How do you get to be president again without being elected? So the thing is that the biggest word in the English language is if. If we have, get rid of the rhinos, if Trump is okay. The thing is that the American people are stupid, and the Congress and the Senate, they're corrupt and they're easily corruptible. So I don't see anybody on the horizon, and I think we're going down the tubes.
Well, can't argue with some of the frustration, but Karen, go ahead. And I know you were starting to say
well,
something. I will get those buzzers.
No, it's
next
okay.
Time.
I agree with you, but I don't think it's the final of going down the tubes. Americans need to be in a lot of pain before they really act. And the pain is not bad enough now because you can still afford $3.40 for gas. But when it goes up to $7, then the pain will be quite deep. And as those things begin to happen, you'll see actions like what the mothers, you know, like what's going on in the schools. This, you know, so as bad as COVID was, it was kind of an awakening, and people were able to actually see, and more people are getting involved, and they're beginning to whatever. I would love to see Trump become Speaker of the House because I believe that he won the election. I do not believe that Biden won. I believe there was incredible fraud, and therefore, he won the election. However, and they're proving it, which is even worse. So if I were Trump, you bet I would take Speaker, but I would not tell anybody. I wouldn't tell you. I never, ever, ever would I come out and say, yeah, I'm going to be Speaker. I let my minions go around and talk about it, put feelers out, get polls and see how many people think and blah, 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 and then you have your answer. But regardless, putting all of that aside, he should become Speaker, and the first order of action should be the impeachment of Biden and Harris. And once he does that, then he becomes the president because the third one in line is the Speaker of the House.
Which
and then
falls
he truly
in line
could
the script
run for,
of
he could
House
run
of
for re-election.
Yes, he could run. He can also run for re-election in 2024, and that would give him 6 years in office, which would really make him.
And if you know, that's Putin. That's how Putin got around the Russian Constitution. Putin.
That's
is now,
how they all do it. Look at yeah, that's how they all do it. Look at what the space. Trudeau the moron.
Yeah, but
communist comrade Trudeau.
True. But this is a republic, and you're not supposed to have workarounds. But yet again, people can take advantage of the loopholes in the laws. Mm.
Well, two parts there. One, to truly believe that the what happened in 2020 was a fraudulent election. So there, I am one who truly believes it was a totally fraudulent election. So that part being there. And the thing is, if in fact he could get in, or if it would happen that way, then the people, there is such a thing as called amendments. You can make amendments. We need term limit amendments. We know that. But we really have to get the right people in those seats to do anything. I want to mention something real quick. I'm going to go back to you, Karen. I did receive a couple of text messages, and one was talking about Trump supporting the vaccines and why is he supporting them. And I did talk about that in the very beginning of the show, so they may have missed part of that. But absolutely, he has to come clean with everything to do with COVID and the vaccines. I went on to quite a rant at the beginning of the show about that, because if he tells me he still thinks this vaccine is a good thing and that everything he did was right and that he would do it all over again, that would be the question, I guess, the magic question for Trump. If you had it to do all over again with this pandemic, what's truly started way back before 2019, but you were president 2019 and this stuff started happening, what would you do differently? How would you have handled it differently? Tell me what you have learned from this. With that being said, the one other thing the person mentioned, the second comment was, get rid of all the school board members, and while I don't think you could truly make it a requirement, but it would be nice and it would be part of the process, strongly encourage parents to be on these school boards. You know, understanding something about that. You know, don't be signing away your kids, which is what's happened now because of this mentality. And I believe it was Joe was talking about we don't educate people. He's saying people are stupid. We don't educate people. We train them. They're all being trained as a bunch of people.
We educate them to be stupid.
Yeah.
We educate them to be stupid. We use programs that don't work, like whole word reading instead of phonics, so they'll never learn to read. We take away eye-hand coordination, so they'll never be able to read the founding documents, so now they can be manipulated because they won't be able to read cursive writing. So they have no idea. And they are being taught that American history starts in 1861, which is the Reconstruction. So they don't go back and talk about the history prior to. So these kids have absolutely no idea. To them, they see the end results of slavery. They don't know about the Civil War. They don't know about all of the blacks that were in Congress. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, well, that was after Reconstruction. But the whole thing is that we've been stupid for, not just for the last 20 or 30 years, we've been stupid for over 100 years. Okay, our generation has been stupid as well. These particular people that we elected into office came as a result of the greatest generation and prior to the greatest generation. We've been indoctrinating ourselves for over 100 years.
Yes, we do. That's exactly right. You have hit the nail on the head. Why? Because of money and power and control. Because we allowed a certain few to, we looked the other way, probably were paid off, looked the other way, gave up our whatever to somebody else. They accumulated the wealth, and now they think they own us. And that's what's going on. But you have to, as Sally said, you have to teach the people from the beginning, do whatever you're told, the government says. And listen to Trudeau. Listen to what he's saying. It is 100% right out of the communist playbook.
Yeah,
yeah,
you're also
and actually,
talking about pain, too.
Oh, hold on, Joe. One quick second first. Going back to this thing, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it the allowing the Communist Party sometime in the 1920s, sometime in there is when all of a sudden – being a communist was acceptable because we believe in letting every, you know, live and let live and whatever else. Where
right.
the brainwashing happened to do that, you know, and then letting communists be on the Supreme Court. How can you be a communist and be on the Supreme Court? How can you be a communist and be part of Congress? All of a sudden we said, oh, it's okay to do all those things. That's okay because we believe in everybody's freedom. Go ahead, Karen.
There was an act, I think it was in 1930-something, and it was the McCarran-Walter or Water Act, and that regulated communism and subversive groups from holding office. And fast forward, our dear buddy Billy Clinton, God bless that man, that piece of garbage, shouldn't say God, he repealed it.
Well,
so
even though we
I'm
had
not
that.
Sure of where it is right now, but that's the one that allowed all of these little communists to come into office. Bush, if let's remember Bush, what did he do? Oh, he took our military and he took out every word of jihad and Islamic terrorists so that we would love our neighbors as they blow us up.
Well, even prior to that, well, it's been found. I think there was a woman named Diaz, I believe. She went over to Russia and took a look at the Russian archives and took a look at the declassified information over here in America. And she wrote a book,
yes.
I forgot the name of it, but she found that there were communists in the Roosevelt administration, not just communist sympathizers,
yes.
but actual communists.
The Roosevelts were communists, and
yeah.
so were the Carnegies.
Right,
all these people.
Yeah, we had communists way back then, I just forgot.
Yes,
I just lost my train of thought.
Except it was, you know, it was like, yes, we know they're communists, but you smack them away, they go away. But what was going on was they weren't going away.
They're not going away. They're the ones who are implementing the incrementalism.
Right, we were more concerned with individual building and family building and then community building, and they were right into being part of the group, and you have to be part of the group, so you are losing your identity, and that was the communist goal.
Yeah, that's
but Marx
the communist
and Lenin
manifesto.
And the Bolsheviks and the whole nine yards. That
the thing is, the government should not be involved in anything.
Correct.
That they're involved in today. As
correct.
Me, as a
yes.
libertarian, the only thing I want the government to be involved in, and I don't know, but you two are probably familiar with the document, or at least the story of It's Not Yours to Give. It's about Davy Crockett. The federal
yeah.
government should only be involved in security. That's about it. Protecting our borders from without and within, and leaving everything up to the states.
Well, but how about the enumerated powers that are in the Constitution?
Yeah.
That's
so
it.
You don't have
finished.
True
no
Constitution.
No more. We don't need any more. But that's up to us. And since we are going to go broke, that's one way to eliminate a lot is by closing up these agencies and making the states.
Well, we don't have them anymore.
Helping the states.
When you were talking about the pain, you're talking about $7 for a gallon of gas. That's not going to be enough. People are paying $14 for a carton of a pack of cigarettes. They will endure the pain. The pain.
Not all of them.
Well,
no. I agree with
no.
you because
and
there's
I
always
minority.
A percentage. Yeah.
Remember the line about the irate minority.
What is this they say? There's 20% of the population who will always vote yes no matter what. They'll always vote for you no matter what because they love you and they're involved with you. 20% of the population will never vote for you no matter who you are, no matter what you do. They hate you and they'll never vote for you. We have the 60% in the middle to play with, which normally when we were together and more united than we are right now, we're able to say, God, country. That was, to me, that was the nail in the coffin, taking God out of school, taking morality. That's how they started implementing all of their dribble. And that's how everything came together because, I don't have to be moral anymore. I'm not going to church on Sunday or whatever.
I was for taking God out of the Constitution and taking it out of governmental documents, because that led to people saying, "Well, what? Who's the God? Is it going to be the Jewish God, the Mormon God, the Protestant God,
your
the Catholic God?
God.
It's your own God. It's your own God.
Whoever you choose.
Okay. Since we're talking George Washington here, I got a couple more quotes here I want to share, because I think this kind of goes into some of this, too, as to how we allowed our country to be taken over. We opened the door because we believe in free will and the libertarian, to the extreme of the libertarian, to say anything goes, that you do your own thing. However, if you're going to allow your enemy to come in because you believe in open borders, then that's what's going to happen. They're going to come in. All Freemason, and this is, again, George Washington, all Freemasonry should be disbanded in America because our organization has been infiltrated by the Illuminati and they have bad intentions for America in the world. And then another one, when one side only of a story is heard and repeated, the human mind becomes impressed with the insensibly, if I can read. And let's see. On eternal and everlasting God, direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb and purge my heart to the Holy Spirit. Daily frame me more and more in the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and living in that fear and dying in thy favor. I may thy appointed time obtain the resurrection of the justified unto eternal life. Bless the Lord, the whole race of mankind, and let the world be filled with the knowledge of thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ. Now, whether you've done it, doesn't mean you got to believe in Jesus Christ, but this was Washington, and I actually want to try and find his one other quote about, you cannot govern without a religious. It was Adams who said, you must have an immoral society, and that comes from religion, that comes from your faith. That's not the exact quote, but that was the gist of it. And Washington was very big in saying, you can't, a free society isn't going to survive without a moral compass, without the moral values, without that. Why do you think all these people are robbing all these stores? Because there's no consequence. It's okay. They were never taught, wait a minute, you shouldn't steal from other people. If these people worked for this and they did it, why go get your own job, go do your own thing. That's what it should be, but somehow we've allowed stealing and killing to be okay, and it all comes down to that very basic fundamental culture core beliefs. So whether you want to call it God or whatever, without any kind of core foundation.
Morality.
Well, you need morality, but you don't need God.
Morality.
You don't need
morality.
God to be the focal
point.
But most
people
don't get it without it.
Some people don't. Some people do. Some people don't. It's your choice. That's what America is for. But we all have to agree that we have to be a moral people. That's the whole key to everything.
There are plenty of atheists and agnostics who are better Christians than Christians.
Yes,
true.
That's
Amen.
Why I put
agree.
A label
no
on
argument.
It. I agree. You have no problem there. Why are we putting a label on it? This is my God. I talk to my God, whoever my God happens to be. You have your God, whoever your God happens to be. And if your God is to have no God, that's your choice. But
yeah, but then you can also have Satan,
your
too.
God.
These people have a Luciferian ideology.
Yes,
that's,
they worship
that's
Satan.
Based in religion.
Yeah. Yeah, they've Saul Alinsky. No, who was it? Wait a minute.
You got Clive Bone, you got Saul Alinsky, you've got sure. But the thing is
no,
that.
No, wait a minute. He devoted the foreword in his book. He devoted it to Lucifer.
Did George Washington actually say Illuminati?
Yes.
Yes.
He
did.
Yes.
Freemasonry.
They all
God.
Knew about that then. This
Holy
is a real. Jesus. This is a real thing. The Illuminati are a real thing, and they have been around for a long time. And they consist.
I'm going to look that up.
Consisted
that's,
of 13.
Very very important.
They consisted of 13 families, and right now we are suffering from the teachings of the offspring of those 13 families, and that's.
Yep.
where all of this came from. I used to work with a psychologist who used to deprogram the Illuminati children because he said they were coming to him saying, I can't believe that. I don't want to do that to that person. I can't go there. And he said they were having a very, very difficult time dealing with life. So he was, quote, deprogramming me. And he used to tell me a lot of the stories of the horrors of the, what these children have been through with their parents because it's a form of abuse.
Well, and you know, the other thing,
really
Washington, hold on one second. Washington was a Freemason, and one of his quotes, I was trying
to find it real quick here,
but I can't find the exact quote, but his quote was to say, beware of those pretending to be patriots. And that, and we know in the beginning, it was interesting. I didn't say it exactly right, but that's the basic, beware of those pretending to be patriotic people. And as I learned more about him and the Freemasons and the Illuminatis and everything else, that made sense because the Freemasons were being taken over by the Illuminati, pretending to be patriots.
Yep.
Go ahead, Joe.
And then they were all tied back to the Knights. I remember that story briefly. But the 13 families consisted of the families of the Rockefellers and the Roosevelts and the monarchies in England. And who else? I used to be able to rattle off all 13, and now I would have to look them up. I don't remember anymore. We wrote so many articles on that when we were studying Agenda 21 because that's where all of this comes from. It is a, I guess they call it now mass programming, where they're actually programming the masses.
Mass formation psychosis.
Thank you. That is the newest psychosis, which is really not new because it's been around just under different names like the Hegelian dialectic and things like that. So it's just the renaming of the same thing, which is we're going to control the masses by making everybody think the same, do the same, be the same. They will think they're having freedom of choice, but they'll be our choices. So, you know, you won't
be able to say,
I want fuchsia. It's going to be purple or pink, period.
That's the purpose of propaganda by the politics. They make it. They make us believe that what they're doing is in our self-interest.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they follow...
I found that quote about the Illuminati. It's interesting.
I wouldn't have thought of it in the beginning, but the Freemason, him and the Freemason and the other quotes and things like that, and then his religious beliefs, it all made perfect sense. But, there's nothing new happening today. There's nothing new here.
No.
It's all the history repeating itself. And we can really go back, I think, as we were talking earlier, 100 years ago, the 1920s, somewhere in that timeline, we said, okay, communists, come on in. You know, hey, you don't believe in America.
That was the war.
Come on in.
That was the war. That was World War, in between 1 and 2, Hitler started purging Germany of the communists. So it was America, what was now our CIA, formed an operation called Operation Paperclip, I believe. This operation brought 3,500 well-known upper echelon communists, meaning they were coming with money, plus they had knowledge like Einstein and others. So we imported communism here, and one of the places that we put these wonderful communists was our universities. And the thing that you learn about communists is that they don't have a timeline. They're like the Chinese. They'll play it out for a long time as they
Communism was the same that a lot of people have towards socialism today. They didn't know. They were
the
about
the,
Yeah, it
is
socialism,
communism.
They did.
The same thing.
Well,
hold on one
they're
second, folks. Okay, just for everybody that's listening, if you we're gonna go on probably a little about five or ten minutes over here because we are getting to the top of the hour. If you're listening on the internet, you will need to call in quickly so you can continue to listen. You can always play it back off of the off the show if you add a later date to finish the end. But at 5 minutes, the internet piece will go off, and we're gonna go on for about another 5 or 10 minutes. Okay, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you, but
give out the numbers, Sally.
Oh, yes, I did. I guess I better do that. 347-857-4364. 347-857-4364. Thank you for reminding me to say that. Okay, anyway, yeah, we allowed the invasion, the takeover, and which was a lot of what the Dr. Christine Northrup was talking about, how World War II really never ended. And how we are truly in World War III with some the bioweapon stuff and the vaccines and things like that. So absolutely, and
yes,
we are getting down to the wire here. So any, go ahead, Karen, wrap up or a few things there. What would you say to Trump? Whatever your thoughts are, then Joe will do that. And then we are going to close with a song I think Trump should start using. I love the song by Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA. I love that song. I like the fact he plays it. But there's the other song, My Name is America. That's where I think we need to be thinking right now, too. Yes. Okay, go ahead, Karen.
Well, I would say clean house, go in jail. This is enough, and the country will be over if it doesn't change. And we are the ones, we the people, have to make it happen. We've got to get engaged. He's one person. He throws out ideas. We have to act on them. And we have to look at our local communities and start taking over. Look and see if your precinct is not better. Your precinct has hardly any people in it. And when you go, you'll find they're the wrong people. No wonder why we're getting the wrong information. So if we want to make it right, it's we the people. Everything is we the people. And I want to thank President Trump for showing what America really could be. And now people have an idea and a contrast, and they'll make the right decision. And whether or not we will pull it out in the next 50 years, who knows, but we will eventually. And it's not going to be easy to pay off. That's what's important.
Thank you so much, Karen. Thank you.
Sally. Thank you.
Go ahead and give your show. Give your show information. Give a plug for your show real quick.
Yes. My show is called The Prism of America's Education. And it's just America Loud Talk Radio Network. Every Saturday and Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern and 9 o'clock Eastern in the evening. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 9 o'clock in the evening. And please take a look at the Florida Citizens Alliance. If you're not in Florida, copy the things that they've done. You have permission to do that. Do it. Get involved, because this is the last chance we will have. And once again, the greatest generation has to act like it. It's time.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ms. Sally.
Thank you so much, Karen. Absolutely great discussion. Thank you so much. Joe, your final words, comment to President Trump?
I would have to sit down with him for about an hour, and I have to let him know. I would be the Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes, and if he started with his, excuse me, starting to interrupt me, I'm going to have to throw him off the air.
even if like Leslie, you're telling a lie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking at the church committee, and back then, they were going into abuses of the CIA, the FBI, and mind control.
Yes, look up MK Ultra.
Yeah,
that's what they were doing. Yeah. And it was the RAND Corporation that was in charge, and they were experimenting on our military and our disabled.
Mm-hmm.
And Margaret Sanger, who created Planned Parenthood, was a partner of William Gates Sr., Bill's
That's
father.
Right.
And they believed in exterminating the Negro.
I actually read the letter.
I actually read that letter. Yes. Yep. Good.
Yep.
Yeah, that used to be on my website. I guess I have to do my website again.
Give your website one more time.
Oh, you can go to KarenShone.com and you will find my podcast and articles. Please join the Alliance. There are some wonderful shows on the America Out Loud Network and Sally's show. We need to spread the word so that people will begin to listen and understand what we're facing and what we can do about it. And we can do something.
Well,
we have
if
to
you
take
need tips,
our local community.
Sally, if you need tips on how to spread your show around, let me know. Because you're going to have to link up with LinkedIn. You're going to have to do a lot of work. Okay, I'm not an SEO expert, but you're going to have to do a lot of work if you want people to do more than just come to your show.
Yep.
I'm on all of those networks, but my network does that for me.
I'd like to find out what they're doing, because if a person doesn't have software to really take a recording of how many visitors are visiting their show, then how do they know that they're reaching people or not?
Yeah, that's up to them. That's a whole other story for another day.
Right.
We'll have to get into that part. Right now, I'm depending on those who hear this, sharing it with a few people they know. You can download the show. You can share it that way. I don't have any copyright on it. I want people to share it. Send them a link. Send them the show, whichever. That kind of thing. Obviously, changing the show is a whole other matter, but I'm hoping that people will share information. And down the road, I'll figure. I do actually work full-time, so my time is somewhat limited, so I can't do much.
In your spare time, we'll have to think about this. Thank you. I must go. So take care, Jen. Talk to you, Sally.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
And good night, everyone.
Great. Good night. It's been a great show. A lot of good discussion, and I hope people will really take these questions. Those of you that are listening, talk to people, share the information. I mean, obviously it's nice if you share the show with them, but I'd much rather you talk to them about the same issues. I would much rather you reach out to the Trump organizations and ask the questions. You know, it's listening is hopefully it's informative and makes you think about what you need to do. We know no one's being taught through public education, so we're sharing information. Please do something with it. Don't just simply listen. Share it. Take action. We got to speak up. And my final message to President Trump, thank you so much for the things you did. I really want you to know I truly appreciate it. And just so you know, I didn't vote for you the first time, but I did the second because I liked what you did. And the thing is, you have to address some of these other issues. So there were mistakes made. I want to know what you're going to do differently. And I believe you can be a key player in saving this country. I truly do believe that. And I do believe it was your best intentions. I don't think you were the evil element here. I really don't. I do believe when you play that song, God Bless the USA, it's because you believe it. That is what you believe. That is where I'm coming from to President Donald Trump. And I want to see our country saved, and I think you can help. But you have to come clean, and you have to admit the mistakes. You have to tell me what would you do different next time? I really want to know if COVID happened all again today. What would you do different compared to what you did in 2019, 2020?
I have
to know that. And that is so important. And also, what are you going to do to get this Republican Party to be true believers of the Republic and the Constitutionalists? What are you going to do to help us restore our Constitution and our rights? Those are all important things. You definitely have many, many people supporting you and following you. You have a great opportunity to totally reunite this country and bring us back to our founding documents, to get back to what we truly are. Our creator, whether you want to call him God or whatever, our creator who gave us our rights. I believe you can do this, but you have to come clean and be honest with yourself on some of these other mistakes. And I just hope and pray that's what you will think about. And I will send in this information. Please, anybody wants to send this link to the various Trump associations, Make America Great associations, whatever, to share this information. Say a prayer for our country. And deep down, an irate minority can make a difference. And I think we're there. I think we are getting there. I have much faith. So with that being said, I'm going to go over here, and I am going to play My Name is America as our closing. And this is what I think Trump should be playing right now. I truly, genuinely believe this is what he should be playing. Please enjoy. Thank you for tuning in. God bless America. Get engaged. Take back our country. Here we go.
Take care, Sally.
Thank you, Joe.
I'll fade
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. Please think about what that song is saying. And again, we must come together as Americans. Hope everybody had a nice President George Washington's birthday. Please read the words of George Washington. He's got many messages. And please reach out to President Donald Trump and let him know what you're thinking and what we need to do. With that all being said, God bless America. Good night, everyone.